That's what you said. It's hard for me to.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. I am Mildred Menlo, and I am working with my partner, Ruth Weiner, and we are interviewing Belle Shapiro at her home, March 31st, 1987.
Just to pick up on some of the things I
all right,
missed out on.
You tell me what they are, and I'll try to get
all
back
right.
to you.
You had talked about going to the theater after shul with your grandmother.
Yes, I think we'll try it again.
It is there.
Okay, by way of just trying to describe my grandfather, remember, I can only tell you about him as I saw him. And I do know that he was a rabbi in Russia. When he came here, I gave you the background and the history of what he became. He finally became a butcher here. Was very active in the Miller Street Shul, where Husband Bloom used to, well, he was the big man about town, very well known. But despite the fact that my grandfather knew his religion, understood it all, he was really more a man of today. I think that he would have been very much at home today. Perhaps conservative, perhaps even a little bit more than that, towards the, well, perhaps a little more, I can't quite say, but towards the reform element a little bit. At any rate, we would come home from shul, and we would have our lunch, which Grandma prepared, and then very often he and I would go to the Harris Theater downtown. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the other thing?
You talked about some of the people you worked with in the theater. And you mentioned the Albers and that L. Baum, and there was Pearl, somebody.
No, I think what I said was that there was a Pearl whose last name I didn't remember.
Oh,
and
maybe.
I still don't. No, there were many people of that era avocation really was the theater, most of these people.
Before
and
we proceed into
yes.
that, though, may I ask a question?
Sure.
You alluded to Rabbi Bloom.
Chazan Bloom, yes. He is the one. His children now are scattered far and wide. I don't even know where.
I wondered if he was related to any of the Blooms.
No.
Very
no
well.
Different. A very, as a matter of fact, he was the one who married my mother and father.
When?
Oh, good Lord. Let me see now. Probably around 1909, I think. Something like that. And I came along several years later. It was around that era that he married them. Yes. But he was very well known. As a matter of fact, much later, he became the cantor at B'nai Israel. For a short time. That was the one.
Very good.
Okay. But he was very, very well known throughout the Pittsburgh area and certainly in the field in which he was engaged. He was very well known and very well loved. Now where do we go?
When you're talking, you came along. When did you come along?
You mean I have to tell you?
Well, discreetly.
Okay, I won't be discreet. I'll be exact. It was 1912. Now, there it is for all the world to see. Well,
the whole world isn't going to see it.
It doesn't matter. I know it is. No, I'm not sensitive about it, really. All right, now where do we go from here?
I would like to ask a question at this time before we get away, since you mentioned the woman here. Grandfather, who was a rabbi. You were a longtime member of B'nai Israel.
Yes.
Were you active in B'nai Israel? Did you have a relationship with Rabbi Lichter?
Oh, he married us.
Very good.
Yeah, he was the marrying rabbi of Pittsburgh. We were married in 1937. Yes. Of course. I wasn't as active as other people, perhaps because I had some other interests. Very early I became involved in the whole aura of the Palestinian-Israeli-Jewish situation. Hadassah, of course, And that was my interest, and at the time, to remember that in the early 30s, well, towards the latter 30s and early 40s, I was having my children, so that, you know, that takes precedence over all, especially in those years. My mother wouldn't have it any other way. But anyway, that was something else entirely. What would we like to talk about now? There is so much, but I don't know where we left off completely or what we didn't cover. I don't want to repeat.
One of the things going back before we get to more current things are some of your recollections about the Depression.
Oh, yes. I do remember that. I remember a time when my father was doing very little. We lived in Oakland at the time on Juliet Street, which is still there. We lived there a good while. I can't remember exactly how long, but when I had rheumatic fever, we were living there. But the age of the Depression, I had a job, I remember, working for a group of lawyers. I was, to the best of my knowledge, just out of high school before I had gone into the into Pitt for classes, but that came much later. And I think there was a time when we actually lived on my $12 a week. How my mother ever did it and managed to save money for me, I will never be able to tell you, but she did. But I think that was the way people were in those days, and they were very proud people. I don't think anybody outside of the family recognized our situation, because there were so many worse than ours, and that makes a big difference. But we all grew up, and there were four of us, four girls. We were very close in age. I think I mentioned somewhere before that my mother had had four girls in 5 years. And I remember something that used to bother me, and now I look at it and I smile. I think I was 6 years old when I had to give up some of my dolls to the little ones. Too much more of a depression, I don't know, than that, because I have a feeling that I was shielded from a great deal of it, as probably many of us were. I remember the apple selling downtown. I remember many things. I remember hearing about people who committed suicide, and somehow or other, horrifying as it was, it didn't really touch me the way it would now. Maybe that's part of being a child, I don't know, of being young. Or maybe it touched me more than I thought it did. I did a lot of writing in those days. Things that I had remembered about school, about other things, and was fortunate enough to get two or three things, I don't remember now which it was, published in one way or another. And
where?
Well, there was an Allegheny County magazine of some kind. I think I mentioned before about the YI case, about the Irene Kaufman Center's Perfect Little Theater. I did mention that before, yes. And that was an Allegheny County magazine. And then the newspapers here, I still have clippings and whatnot, picked up some of the stories, and there was a contest in which I won. I think I won third prize, and I think I told you Walt Framer won fourth. So I guess I was in good company in those days. But at any rate, that's as much as I can give you on the on that part of the world in which we lived.
And you were married?
I was married in 37,
yes.
Yes. But before I was married, I became involved in many things which had to do with Israel, even though it was at the place where we were just starting to make inroads. And I grew up with the knowledge of the Jewish National Fund and what it meant and that kind of thing. And when we were married, it was a couple of years after that I became violently involved with Hadassah, because that's when I took the radio program, and I think I did mention that too. There was one incident during the... I'll have to skip around a little bit because I don't know how else to handle it here. I remember that... I think that I was still president of Hadassah here, yes, and this was in the 50s. When Hadassah was going to have its, not only its national convention here, but its 50th anniversary national convention, and I became the local chairman because while I accepted it for the Pittsburgh chapter, I went out of office then. So I became the chairman here. I remember Sarah Munter was, I don't know if she was a regional chairman or a chairman in league somehow with the national office. That one very funny incident happened. By the way, Golda Meir was our guest that night, and we had to wait and wait and wait for her, but when she finally came on, she was worth every second of that waiting. But it was a 50th anniversary, and we had no emblem. What do you do about it? Two things happened, the emblem and that. And one day I'm walking down Fifth Avenue past A.S. Beck Company's shoe store, and there in the window is a glorious gold 50th anniversary insignia of some kind. And I knew it was an expensive piece because A.S. Beck certainly on their advertising is not going to stint. And I thought, do I have enough chutzpah or don't I? And I decided it was a darn good cause, and of course I did. I went in, got it, and that was what you saw at the big functions for that convention. And I just loved the idea, as did so many other people, that the fact that we were able to do that, and I think there's nothing wrong with borrowing. I really and truly don't, but that was one thing that I had never quite forgotten. The other thing was that the Hilton was brand new. We had had the first function ever there. Never forget how large it was. And one woman called me on the phone after the function, terribly distressed. I don't know if I should give this to you, but I'm going to anyhow. She was going up the stairs, and there were no slats under each stair. And she said a man was standing under the stairs looking up. Now, what was I going to do about it? Well, I'll tell you, just to be on the safe side, I did call the Hilton. I didn't talk to Conrad. Somehow or other, it was rectified shortly thereafter. But you know, a president of Hadassah is supposed to be able to do almost anything. And you have to try. And that was that. I think maybe, did I tell you the story about my acceptance of the first donor chairmanship? I did tell that, but that we can't repeat. After I left Hadassah, I'm sure there are many
Which
things.
Which story? Maybe it's not the same story.
Anyhow, after I left Hadassah, and it was a regretful leaving for me because I really, to tell the truth, had a whale of a good time. I did a lot of things that I wanted to do. By the way, to go back to that 50th convention, up until then, every time Hadassah had a convention, the Friday night dinner was always followed by a cantorial something or other, you know, singing and whatnot. And somehow or other, I don't know about how other people felt about it, but there were some complaints. They didn't want to hear cantatas over and over again. And I had an idea, and I was afraid to bring it out. Because you know what happens when you come up with an idea? You become the chairman, and very often you do it. Right? Okay. But I finally came up with it, and I said, look, the convention is going to be is labeled a prologue to Hadassah. Why couldn't we present a historical prologue to Pittsburgh? And everybody thought that was great. And then, of course, it happened. I became the chairman, and I had to write the piece involved. But in all honesty, I must admit that it was something that I believe I gained more out of it than anybody else. I went to the Pennsylvania Historical Society. I had long meetings with Lillian Friedberg of blessed memory, you know, with the CRC. And I must say that Lillian had much more information than anybody else. She had books of things, all kinds of things, and she was quite thrilled about it. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, that there was a time in the history of Pittsburgh when Wilkinsburg was actually referred to as Jewtown. Yes, but that's another long story and perhaps for another time. But at any rate, these were some of the things that I was able to learn. I also learned about the Jewish life of Pittsburgh in those days. Most Pittsburghers in those days, and some of them were familiar names, and I don't know where they go. For instance, there were Levy's. There were names of this kind, but I can't relate them to anything or anyone. And they used to go up on the hill, Mount Washington, and they would buy, there were still, in those days, in the long ago days, there were still Indians up there who would sell them pelts for whatever, I don't know what, remember now what it was. And they would come back down and sell them, and that's how they got into business. And I suspect that's how some of our old furriers got started. This is the way it happened in Pittsburgh. At any rate, is there anything you'd like to ask about that period that maybe I really don't know a great deal about it. All I know is what I read, you know.
It would be interesting to know about this Wilkinsburg bit, because...
Well, for some reason or other, you see, that was before Squirrel Hill was populated. When the first people moved to Squirrel Hill, it was and not that many years ago either, it was big farmland. So... Jewish people, and there were not too many of any others, moved into the Wilkinsburg area and lived there. I can't tell you who, because she had no records on that. And I have checked since then, even with the Pennsylvania Historical Society, and yes, there were many Jewish names there. Now, I don't know what happened with the transition between the time the Jews lived there and between the time, as you know, it became a rather anti-Semitic area. As you know, there was a well-known clergyman there who caused a great deal of problems and a great deal of trouble, and he was one of the ones who came up and said, and he's probably gone by now, he's gotten his just desserts, imagine, he had said that there never was a Holocaust. Do you remember there was that kind of involvement in Wilkinsburg? But it would be interesting to go back sometimes and really get facts and figures and names and follow through on relationships, because a great many of them did go there and later moved into Squirrel Hill. I think that this is the beginning of the original North of Forbes contingent. It's very interesting. But anyhow, I wish I could give you more on that, but
would
I really
you,
can't.
Comment a little bit on the North of Forbes relationship.
In terms of what?
What it denotes.
I don't think it still denotes the same thing quite. But North of Forbes was, how can I, well, yeah, I can tell you, as it was in the old days, living on the bluff was North of Forbes. I mean, when you were up there, and I had the distinct privilege of being born up there, not that my family lived there afterwards, they didn't, but that's where I was born. But up north of Forbes and the Bluff, I think, were kind of synonymous. Because when you built a house north of Forbes, they're still standing, many of them. They were large, they were expensive, they had loads of servants. There were well-known family names. And it was the kind of, I hate to use the word ritzy, but it was the ritzy place to live. I think a lot of that's been broken down because people have left Squirrel Hill and they've gone to other areas. They have gone out to South Hill, some of them have gone out to Fox Chapel, a great many. But now I think, since the Pittsburgh flood and the reconstruction of Pittsburgh, so many things have changed, because here we are back downtown again in an area that was poor people's area at one time.
Do you have some recollection
of
the flood?
Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. I was quite young, and I was doing some special work or part-time work for a group of lawyers in town. And the office was called, and by the way, it was the Jones Law Building, which is now part of the jail, as you remember. There was no air conditioning in those days, nothing of that kind. And I was doing some part-time work, and I remember that they kept saying that the flood would not go higher than a specific area, and of course it didn't go that high, but we all left early and the elevators were not working, and we had to walk down, which was all right, so long as you didn't have to walk back up again. I remember trying to go down 4th Avenue as far as I could, and the water began to rise. I remember going into a building on 4th Avenue and looking out on Liberty Avenue, and I shall never forget the piano that was floating. I don't know if it was up or down Liberty Avenue, but it was floating. I remember going into the William Penn because everybody came there because there was just no place to go. I don't even remember how I got home that day, but I'm here, so I must have gotten home all right. And who was the Spanish or Mexican entertainer? Can't think of his name. He was appearing in Pittsburgh, and his wife was a singer. I wish. I can't think of his name. Yes, Xavier Cugat. And his wife was complaining she couldn't find her dog. And I remember he said to her name, the dog's name was Zimba. And he said, to hell with your Zimba. I want my Fiddle, which was then at the Harris Theater because he was appearing there.
I want my what?
My Fiddle.
My Fiddle.
My Fiddle, he said. Oh, yeah, I remember those days. Of course, the water didn't last that long. And shortly thereafter, our wonderful mayor, what was his name, who died suddenly, Lawrence, started the whole reconstruction area. And unless you remember it, have pictures of it, it would be very difficult to compare it with Pittsburgh today at the point and beyond. But you see, I must tell you that I am not a fair observer, really. Because I have had a love affair with this city from the first I can remember. I adore its topography. I love it. I think Pittsburgh has never ceased to be a great, big, overgrown, small town. And long may we wave in that way. People who talk with me about Pittsburgh find out in short order that I think it's a special place to live. I wish we could solve our employment problems. There are much we have to solve. But I like bringing my children up in this area, too.
I just want you to comment about one thing.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, of course, had its reputation as a smoky city.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Comment on those.
I certainly do. As I was growing up as a little girl, there was a woman in our neighborhood who, believe it or not, her name was Maggie Murphy. And Maggie Murphy's big job, she would, and when the weather was nice, she would try to keep it outdoors. Otherwise, it went inside. Do you remember curtain stretchers? Well, Maggie did all the curtain stretching for the neighborhood, which was Vicaroy Street, near the bluff, that kind of thing. Now, nobody could keep curtains up more than 2 weeks, and that included the north side also because they've got so much smoke. I remember something else. I remember walking across from the museum, which in those days didn't have those beautiful cement areas where you could drive and walk and what have you. During the rainy days, it was mud and slime, but regardless, across the street from there were the sidewalks. And if you walked there on a sunny day, you were walking on diamonds. It was the ore dust which glistened in the sun. Well, I remember those old days of Pittsburgh. Even now when I ride up Fifth Avenue, I remember that as a child when I used to come down in the horse and buggy with my grandfather or on the streetcars, which were then, I think, 2 tokens for a nickel or something of that kind. Seeing some of the numbers on the street, and there were 1890, and it went into 1917. It was into 1917, 18, and I thought, I wonder if I will live to a time when it will be 1990. Because the addresses are like that on Fifth Avenue. So I'm trying to make it.
Please, God.
I hope yes. So. Anyhow, I think that's as... Well, there are many things, but I think that's as much as I remember, really and truly, that other people may see a little differently. Fifth Avenue was different than it is now. Forbes Street.
Have you ever been involved?
How different? Mm-hmm. Well, now people are going out of business and new things are coming in. Then all those old things were just coming in. I mean, it's a change, it's a shift. Lower Fifth Avenue is gradually moving up, and you will find law offices, and there will be doctor's offices, and all of this area at Washington Plaza, which is an eyesore, is slowly coming down. 10 years from now, it will be an entirely different area, I can assure you.
What I wanted to ask you, Belle, with your great admiration of Pittsburgh, have you ever been involved politically?
Not really. Not really, no. Somehow or other, I voted for things and I did help a couple of politicians in a small way. But I somehow or other, and maybe it wasn't the right thing for me to do, my politics were involved with Israel. I mean, I'm sorry that I didn't do this other thing. I really should have, because I think I could have. Also, I wasn't as vocal then as I am now. And that does make a difference.
There was an organization, a conference of organizations.
Jewish Women's. You mean the Jewish Women's Organization?
No.
I don't recall.
Hadassah was a member of the Conference of Organizations.
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember. I remember a lot of discussion about the Pittsburgh platform, which applied to Road of Shalom and some of the other temples. But this I know very little of anything about. Sorry, I can't help out there.
What do you remember about the Pittsburgh platform?
I don't remember it, actually. I remember the talk about it. And as a matter of fact, when I wrote my prologue to Pittsburgh, which I still have, and it was performed, there was a lot in it about the fact that the Pittsburgh platform was created here in Pittsburgh, because Road of Shalom was one of the determining factors in the reform movement. There was much that happened in that movement that probably had best left alone. I don't know. Anything else on that particular subject? Where should we go from here?
We haven't talked about your children and your grandchildren.
Oh. Well, I have two sons. Paul, my eldest. Paul Julian is a lawyer in the Pittsburgh area. Joel, whom we call Bud, he named himself when he was like a year and a half old. The cleaner came in one day, said, "Hi, buddy," and he would never answer to anything else. So to this day, he's Bud Shapiro. He now lives in Greenville, South Carolina, and is doing very, very well. And of course, like every modest grandmother, I have two of the most beautiful grandchildren, you know. My granddaughter is going to be 17. And it's interesting, is Tracy Beth, and Tracy has a bent for writing. And she is the one who has been after me to write a history of the family and the things that I remembered. And I always promise, and I never have done it. There is another thing, and I think I mentioned this before, if I did, stop me. You know, children who live away from family miss a great deal, and she's sensitive enough to miss it. And when she comes for a visit, most children want to do a great many things. She's got the pool here, and she plays tennis. What she wants to do is she wants to go to see who of the family is in town. She wants to be close to family. And I think both her father and her mother have helped with that kind of a feeling, and I applaud them for it, because it's difficult to have only mom and dad and a sister or a brother. Oh, I have two grandchildren. And Lee Matthew, who was named for his paternal grandfather, will be bar mitzvah in June of this year. And he is warm. He's much warmer than Tracy. He's warm and loving and bright. And like every grandmother, I'm terribly proud of both of them. What can I tell you? You know? Great.
Enjoy them.
I
end of side one, take two, continued on side two.